Imagine you're swimming a casual 4,000 feet below the waves in the inky blackness of the bathypelagic zone when you come across a pair of what seems to be headlights. Is it a car? Is it a plane? Nope, it's a squid with its brights on. The Dana octopus squid is a shiny fellow and isn't afraid to let that light shine before men that they may see his squid deeds. But when you live where the sun don't shine, you need a light to survive here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jess Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Kaspar, Lottie and Aubrey, Gray Hughes, and Wednesday Rabbit. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about a rising star in the sea, but more on that later.
A rising or maybe sinking or falling star. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about how weird it is that people call it a meteoric rise? Meteors don't rise.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
It's like all they do is fall. interesting, yes. A rocket rise, if there's an adjective for that. But, yeah. Anyway, what are we talking about?
The term meteoric refers to speed, not direction. You don't say.
There are other fast things that don't exclusively fall that you could use as your metaphor. That's ironic. Right there. Mm-hmm. That might even be the purest, one of the purest forms of irony I can think of. A meteoric rise, like sleeping like a baby.
Yeah, sleep like the dead is a better phrase that means the same thing, but it's way more macabre and less adorable.
Or sleep like a log. Which is
yeah,
dead.
Logs aren't waking up.
Logs are pretty dead. Anyway.
Would you like to know what we're talking about?
I would.
Did we even say?
We haven't.
Dana boomers. It's the Dana squid octopus.
The word boomers has been so... dragged through the mud these last like 5 years or whatever, that when you said it, I did not even think of like the fun zone,
a fun place for the whole family.
I was like, what? Does Dania have like a large boomer population?
I think Dania like used to have a boomers and doesn't anymore.
Oh, does it not? Now there's just the one in Boca.
I pass anyway, it every day.
It's not even Dania. It's the Dana. Or Dana.
I know. Dana.
Yeah, we're going to...
Squid.
The DOS. The DOS.
Is it the Dana octopus squid or the Dana squid octopus?
Octopus squid, because it is a squid, not an octopus. The octopus describes matters. The squid. Yes.
I was arguing with a Canadian over
you never do that
adjective use, and I'm like, and he was like, you guys don't speak English, we speak English in Canada. I'm like, I'm right.
It
was a situation where like a noun was being used as an adjective, and he was saying that no, the adjective should have an apostrophe S. But he didn't understand that it was an adjective. It wasn't the noun. It's like, no. Never mind.
Maybe you're just using some Gen Z talk on him. You're just adulting or something like that.
No, I was 100% right. I wish I remembered exactly the phrase, but I can't remember.
Just never argue with Canadians. I think that's for the takeaway from this.
Usually you don't have to. They're very congenial.
Yeah, usually it's not a problem. Anyway, this is called the Dana Octopus Squid. We're going to call it here Led Zeppelin or LED Zeppelin. This looked a lot better when I wrote it down, and I didn't just realize that it was a lot harder to communicate with my voice. But Led Zeppelin, but also LED. So that it does work that way too. Squillient tentacles. And a lady with lights.
Okay.
That one's a baby one. She came out with that one. She's pretty.
I like it. Good. Do you want to know what it looks like, or do you have like some sort of game we could play?
We gotta taxonomize me, Captain, first.
Oh, that's right. We haven't even done that. Well, it's in the kingdom you know, love, and are in the kingdom Animalia. It's in the phylum Mollusca, because it's a snail. Just kidding. It's kin to snail. It's the class Cephalopoda. Foothead.
Headfoot.
Headfoot. Hedwig. The order is Oegopsidae. Oegopsidae?
Oh, hey, go.
Oi.
Oegopsida?
Oegopsida. The family is Octopotuthidae.
Yeah.
Or is it like Europe? Octoputhidae.
No, because no, of no the R. T.
Octoputhidae.
But how you Octopoth. Yeah, you got to put that T in there.
Octopotuthidae.
Yeah, there you go.
And then the genus is Tangia or Taningia. Yeah, okay, if you want to hit the hard G.
Yeah, like an Aninga.
Anhinga.
Anhinga, yeah.
The species is Danny.
Oh, Danny boy. Pipes.
Taningia Danae.
Taninga Danae? That sounds like a character from Boy Meets World.
Taningia Danae. It could be Ninja.
There's no other I there, so I don't think it would be Ninja.
What?
Taninga.
Ninja. No, there's an I.
Oh, am I looking? Taninja. Did I write it down wrong on my notes? Then there's Taninja. I would say Taninja then. Yeah, if there's an I.
This is everyone's favorite part, by the way. Us, like, ruminating on the pronunciation of these words.
This is called Life, Death, and Taxonomy, not Life, Death, and Fun.
life, death, and saying words correctly the first time ever.
But it says we're in the business of naming things. It's time for my favorite part of the show. Critter groups. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that question is the same every time. What is the name of a group of this animal, or what is the term of entry, or what is the collective noun? If you saw a group of squid... I don't know if we've done this one. Because I think we've done three squid in this entire show. The Humboldt squid, which was episode numero uno. Don't go watch it or listen to it. Start somewhere else, please. The giant squid, which we did... Not too long ago. So I don't know if we did critter groups for that, but we'll see. If you saw a group of squid, would you call it A, a shoal of squid, B, a spear of squid, C, a squad of squid, or D, a shrill of squid?
A shoal of squid, a squad of squid. I hope it's squad. I think it's shoal. Final answer, shoal.
That's correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, the fish people don't really care about like doing new stuff.
And it's not even fish. It's not even a fish.
Guess what? I think they're right. You don't need a million groups of that. You don't even need one. You need group. That's all you need. It's a group of this thing. It doesn't make it faster to say it is a shoal of this thing. Because you still need to say shoal of this thing.
It's not about being fast. It's about being specific. So
you're specific when you say the thing.
So like a murder can interact with a parliament.
Yeah, but nobody ever says. But a group. They always say a murder of crows and a parliament of owls.
But then you start there and then you go on speaking about the crows and you said one murder was over here, another murder was over there, and those murders were interacting. But then a parliament came in and slapped all the murders.
How would you stop somebody from beating you up? For your insolence.
How would you at that point keep all of your teeth in your mouth? I'm just thinking of like a research paper that would have to use the term of venery. But I wish it was a squad of squid. I wish it was a square squad of squishy squid.
Then they would be saying cohort.
Cohort.
If it's a research paper.
Yeah, it's a shoal of squid.
I love fish people. I love
you love the
they called ornithopters.
I think
isn't that the name of the flying machine in Dune?
Yeah. The fish people from the town of Innsmouth, H.P. Lovecraft. Those are fish people.
Is that
people.
What they're called there?
They're not called fish people, but they are fish people.
Got it.
Anyway.
Let's talk about what it looks like.
Sure.
The body coloration is not well documented, so sorry. Sorry about that.
Gross.
But they are like
fish people. Strike again.
Deep sea adapted coloration, which is generally darker to blend in with the deep ocean. That sounds like conjecture. Their arms are equipped with hooks, almost like a cat's claws, which are around their suckers, and they use it to grasp prey. So if you could, it's dual two-factor authentication. I'm going to grip with the suction cup and the claw. Not authenticity. It's a redundancy.
It's two-factor
because of their deep sea habitat, sightings and detailed descriptions of their appearance are rare. But most of our knowledge comes from specimens that have been washed ashore or captured in deep sea expeditions, and I assume dredged up from deep sea like. Nets. There seems to be a picture on Wikipedia in which there is it's red like a Humboldt.
Or it's like a
vampire squid.
I see a lot of like there. This recently came up in the news, so it's interesting because I put this on the radar after on our list. After just looking up like cool and interesting animals, but then a month ago, it became topical, because I started getting all of these articles on my Google News feed that this crazy squid had attacked a camera, and it had an interesting feature that we'll talk about later, Now that there's a Newsweek article that I'm looking at right now where it's like this, the Dana octopus squid came and attacked this camera. And it's interesting because we just don't have a lot of documentation of a living specimen, kind of like a giant squid. So it's like, oh, we got a really good picture and video of this. So we're topical here. It's cutting edge of news. Four weeks old. Yeah. That's it.
Last time we did Father's Day, and this time we're doing topical news.
Yep, we only do animals that are in the news.
So that brings us to Its Size and Dimensions in Relatable Terms. Welcome to the Below the Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. I have to do my, like, vocal exercises before doing that.
Yeah, the lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue, the articulatory tools.
Yeah. It's election year. It's an election year in the United States of America. We should do an election for this again. But I think it should only take place in, like, an email or on Patreon. So it's real. The real deal, people. Just send in your, like, favorite, whether you like critter groups. Critter groups and
nitty-gritty nomenclature
are a package deal. That it's like a Romney-McCain situation.
it's
in that they're like a package deal that loses.
Oh. I thought it was like bundling your home and auto insurance.
Critter groups or Measure Up, send it in via email. Should we make it so that the patrons count as two? If you go on Patreon, your vote counts as two. Because you can sign up for free. You don't have to pay any money, but you can become a member, a taxonomy titan. For free. And your vote counts as two.
Sure, I believe in the system.
Yeah.
Recently, I've been feeling very vindicated and justified by certain individuals that have voiced their love for critter groups.
That's true.
I'm feeling confident about this one.
But before we don't have a new measure of intro this week, but that means we get to hear from or about an animal, and Carlos has to guess what it is.
About.
But without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show. Nice. I had to make sure we get to the octopus part before we played too much so that the YouTube would destroy us. The YouTube would say, no.
It's a band, I think.
You don't know this?
No.
You're being coy.
No, I don't know this.
You don't know this song?
No. Is that bad?
Octopus's Garden?
Yeah, that's really weird.
I feel like we've talked about it.
If you had told me, like, Octopus's Garden, I would have been like, oh, that's probably a new Owl City song. Like, oh, no, that's like Alligator Sky or Helicopter Moon or whatever.
No. That's Ringo singing. Beatles.
Is it just this, like, solo stuff?
No, it's a Beatles song. It's on Abbey Road.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Goodness. One of the most famous albums of all time, and I don't know.
Now, if you hear it, you're not going to hear Paul or Lennon. So you might not associate it with a typical Beatles song because it's Ringo singing. But yeah, it's a Beatles song.
But it's the same voice
as Yellow Submarine.
I was a little distracted by how skillful the guitar was. Just not used to hearing.
The guitar is great.
I'm not used to hearing that from the Beatles. It's usually pretty straightforward and symbol.
You're thinking of the like 1990, I mean 1964 albums. Like once they're getting
into I'm looking at the track list. Come Together is really simple. Here Comes the Sun is really simple. I don't know most of these. Goodness. Yeah, Sun King.
Abbey Road is
like, Oh Darling, Something Because, Mean Mr.
Mustard.
I think
that's my favorite album. My favorite Beatles album, rather.
Golden Slumbers. Yeah, I've never heard of any of these, most of these songs.
The last like five are like short and they run into each other. It's like almost like sound, it sounds like one song. So you really like people don't really play them by themselves.
Yeah, I've never. Yeah, this is not an album I'm very familiar with whatsoever.
You're really probably familiar with the album art.
Yeah, of course. It's like the most famous album of all time. For some reason, I don't understand it.
It's very basic. I think it's only famous because people go to where it was photographed.
Yeah, it's photographed in a very specific place. The Beatles are eternal superstars. So,
but let's talk about an animal for a bit. We're doing the new style of measure up where it's a multiple choice, which Joy, longtime listener and friend and helpful person when I'm having audio issues. Because she knows audio stuff. she said that like this is helpful in like because it's easier to like play along when you're at home than to like sit there and do math in your head because it's multiple choice and you can like just think like how many lemon trees would this fish would it take to be this fish's living depth.
Yeah, it turns out like no one really wants to do math in their head or math in general. No one likes math.
There's a few and unhappy few.
Unhappy few.
Let's talk about the Dana squid. Their length. Their total length. The Dana squid is the same length as 654 fingernails stacked.
Ugh.
So the thickness of a fingernail stacked. Or one Peter Mayhew. Do you know who that is?
Did you say who what it is? How tall it, how long it is?
Oh, that's right. It's 2.3 meters or 7.5 feet.
Yeah, Peter Mayhew is Chewbacca, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or C, 309,000th the length of Tennessee, east to west.
7 foot what?
7 foot five. Or 7.5, so 7.6.
All right, I'm going with Peter Mayhew. I hope it's
final
that.
Final answer?
Yeah.
The correct answer is 309,000th of the length of Tennessee. Peter Mayhew is 7'2".
Oh, he's a little one. He's a little boy.
4 inches shy of this squid.
I'm just imagining the pictures of just Han and Chewie and with Han coming up to like Chewie's chest. And I was like, that's got to be like a foot and a half.
It was a cruel multiple choice. I'll give you that because it's easy to conceptualize a Peter Mayhew and it's very difficult to conceptualize one 309,000th. I can't even say it. It's so hard to conceptualize.
And I don't even remember the first one, so you just got me at
fingernails
at a Mayhew. Fingernails. Yeah, definitely not the fingernails. 600 of those. There's no way that goes up to 7 feet.
Let's talk weight. They're 161.4 kilograms or 356 pounds. So the Dana squid is the same as A, Honda Golden Wing touring motorcycle, B, 1/7 the largest pig, or C, 15 6-month-old boxer puppies.
1/7 times 7. So the largest pig being 2,500 pounds. I don't think that's it. 15 boxer puppies.
No, sorry. Not 1/7. Like, the largest pig is 1/7. This one might be just fake.
The largest pig is 1/7 of 356 pounds? If either one is 1/7 of the other one, it's incorrect.
I typed in, what's the largest big ever? And it said the blue whale. The blue whale is the largest big.
That has the most
it's so
big.
Big. It's the largest big.
It's got, that is the best and most big.
Yes. Yeah. 1/7 the largest pig. That's what I have.
So yeah, it's 2,500 pounds for the largest pig. I don't think it's boxer puppies. So I'm going with number one, whatever it was.
A Honda Golden Wing touring motorcycle?
That one, the motorcycle.
I'm pretty sure that final answer?
Yes.
The Golden Wing motorcycle is close, but I think it's only 200 and something pounds. The correct answer is 1/7 the largest pig.
The largest pig is...
I gaslit myself and thought, that's impossible.
Ton.
Big Bill, the largest pig ever, is Big Bill, and he weighed 2,552 pounds, or 1,100 kilograms.
Yeesh.
1933.
That
he shattered records.
They don't make them like that anymore.
He must have been the size of a horse. No, he would have been the size of like. He could have been
Any images of this thing?
Big Uh-oh. Bill. Let's see.
Yeah, there's Big a picture. Bill there's Bill. Nothing by comparison.
I guess pigs are really dense. Yeah, there's a picture of him, but he's like alone against a fence.
There's a picture of him next to
he looks like just a big
goat.
Pig.
Yeah, he just looks like
pigs are just very dense.
Interesting. Yeah, they are dense, and
I mean
delicious. I mean dense.
There's pictures of them of just pigs. I'm seeing very large pigs that are bigger than, like, taller at the withers than any dog.
Oh, yeah.
And
I just, like, didn't think they'd be as much as like, a cow, which is, like, the 2,500 to 3,000 pound region. I don't even think cows tend to get that big. Anyway,
I'm seeing pictures that could be photoshopped, but like a lot of them that were like people are with them and they are like kind of their body is a cow's size, but their legs are shorter.
Yeah, they're just cows without knees. It sounds like some sort of activist group. Cows without
it
knees.
It sounds like a Scholastic Book Fair book.
My life is a cow without knees.
Yeah, so fact, the heaviest pig ever recorded was Big Bill, a Poland China hog from Tennessee. Big Bill weighed an astonishing 2,500 pounds and was recognized by Guinness for his size in the 30s, I guess. How old is Guinness?
I thought he was recognized for his contribution to the
science
and ending the food shortages in Tennessee.
Yeah. He single-bodiedly ended the depression.
Yeah, he bodied the depression. That's a term we use these days. Anyway.
What? Oh, I guess it's retroactive. Because the Guinness Book of World Records started in the 50s.
Cheater.
But how can they verify retroactively? Whatever. Guess they have good records. Would you like to hear some fast facts about the Dana squid?
Yeah.
Before we get into the major part? The Dana squid is an ocean creature. That's a fast fact if I ever.
I knew it.
Which means what the ending in that sentence, the end of that sentence is, which means that it lives everywhere. And we all often talk about how, like, where is this like open ocean animal found? Everywhere on Earth.
Yeah, it's a that's an open ocean animal thing. Like reef animals tend to like live in warmer waters, so it's like that's usually like the Caribbean or Southeast Asia. But pelagic or I can't
pelagic
animals, they tend to be to go everywhere, like Johnny Cash,
mm-hmm, like Johnny and Cash, whales. Even though he only went to North America. Their habitat, Dana's are found in oceans worldwide and are believed to live at depths of around 3,000 feet. They're hard to spot because of their living depth. It is a top predator in its environment. They are listed as least concern, but how would you even know if they're not well studied and you don't see them very often and it's very hard to see them? How would you even know?
You're just like, they must be fine down there.
I'm not concerned about it.
No one has sent up a complaint to HR yet. Like those pandas.
They are shrouded in a ton of mystery, and much of what we know comes from specimens that have been, you know, washed up or dredged up or collected in research expeditions. But their elusive nature continues to intrigue us. Only us. And also scientists and oceanic enthusiasts and whoever owned that camera.
And then the two of us, and then that's it.
I have something else, but I think it might bleed into what you're going to talk about, so take it away.
All right, the major fact for this one's called Someone's in the Kitchen with Dana.
Is this descriptive of the major fact?
No, I just was listening to that song recently because I love that song, and it's just, you know, I know all the words, and it's on my iPod. No,
it's
a good song for kids. And also, I didn't know that, like, it's part of I've Been Working on the Railroad.
Yeah.
Like I'd never heard like the full thing until like one of the more recent videos my kids were watching was like it finished I've Been Working on the Railroad and ends with Dinah Blow Your Horn and then goes into Someone's in the Kitchen with Dinah. Which was like, "Oh, I didn't know those two were connected."
It does feel like those are two different songs. But I was just thinking that the tune's the same.
No, one's da 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 da, and then the other one's da 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 da. But it's like the same.
Oh yeah. Is it same notes? Same
key.
They flow
together, and they are thematically
like Abbey
linked.
Road.
Like Abbey Road. So the Dana octopus squid has for the most part, it looks like a normal squid, but it possesses some unique photophores that are distributed across his body. So living so far down in the depths where light or very little light reaches, a lot of animals have bioluminescence. We've talked about this for several different animals that live down there. It is a great way to communicate, to find food, to lure food, to dazzle opponents or attract mates. And it's the same situation with the Dana octopus squid. These photophores are special light-producing organs. And it can also aid in camouflage. But the Dana octopus squid has particularly prominent photophores. It's a triple P threat. And most of them are located along the arms and mantle. So they're just kind of lined like a 747 windows. But the most obvious photophores are on these two stubby little arms that it has. So for most photophores throughout the animal kingdom, and most of these are found at the bottom of the ocean, they're just like a few fractions of an inch long. They're really, really tiny. But the photophores on the Dana octopus squid are the size of a lemon each. So they're huge. Like this
so
size.
They have flashlights. It's essentially a flashlight.
Yeah, it's like a big, just fist-sized bulb of light at the end of their...
it's bigger than a flashlight.
Yes. Unless you have a very large flashlight. Like one of those big halogens. And not only do they have these big, like, glowing eyeball things, they also have an eyelid for those. So these things are always glowing. And they have like this shutter that they close over it when they don't want it to be visible, which is, it's very helpful to turn off the light when you don't want to be seen. So just two glowing eyeballs and a big eyelid that closes over it. So if you've ever played a Resident Evil game, you have most likely emptied entire magazines into something that looks like this. Multiple times, because that's just how those games work out. Like you see a guy and you're like, hey, I'm gonna get you, and then he turns into a giant tentacle monster with a bunch of big eyeballs on it, and you just, I guess I shoot the eyeballs, and then that's what you do. So these are the largest photophores in the animal kingdom by a country mile, by an oceanic nautical mile. And that's kind of what lands it on this list. They emit this blue-green bioluminescent light, and the squid can actually control both its intensity and its duration. So that gives it a lot of, you know, little levers to pull for communication or attracting mates or camouflage. And they also use this as an identification tool. So, like, your arrangement or the like, you can flash a certain signal and say, like, hi, you know, I'm Ted. This is Ted in the darkness, you know, 4 feet away from you. And then the other one can say, hi, this is Sasha. I don't know what squid call each other. This is Harry and Sally. And so they can recognize each other, and they can recognize their mates as well. And when they're startled, they will often flash these lights quickly. And researchers have been a little stumped on why they do this. And in the situation where that happened a month ago, where the squid attacked a camera, it flashed its lights like bright before attacking. So it'll flash before attacking, it'll flash before swimming away. the general like conjecture for this is that it is to blind whatever is there, because most animals that live down there are either blind, or if they do rely on sight at all, they have really, really large and sensitive eyes. So flashing a light out of just pitch blackness might really confuse predators. Although they found that it doesn't, their main prey is like sperm whales, which doesn't, predator. Their main predator is sperm whales. And that didn't seem to deter sperm whales from chowing down. But it might, you know, stun a prey animal. It's like, oh, what's that bright light? And then suddenly there's a beak chomping down on you. Have we talked about how unnerving? Yeah, we have, with the giant squid episode. How unnerving it is that squid and octopus have beaks. That's so weird. That they have just parrot beaks down
and
there.
And they're hidden. So it's like, it has to reveal something that it should not have.
Like, yeah.
Check out this. No, that's wrong.
It's just like, yeah, what if all this skin unfolded and it was just a pair of like pearly white human teeth? And just be like, no.
I'm thinking it should be a sarlacc kind of mouth.
Like the kraken. Although the kraken has a beak, but it also has a sarlacc mouth. The Pirates of the Caribbean kraken. Yeah, just really, really unnerving. Anyway, so the problem with this squid, as you mentioned, is that it has not been really well documented or observed. Most of what we know about them comes from the stomach contents of sperm whales that were hunted in the 70s. So, you know, it's not great when it comes to live specimen, observation, which is the case for a lot of animals that live down there. I have a few animals on, our list that are cool. Because humanity has literally one picture of them. And it's like, that was a cool picture. We know nothing. So we can't really do the episode. So yeah, James Cameron, get on that. Take more pictures of the deep, please.
Yeah.
And then that's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right, that was the Dana octopus squid. So for you out there in Podcastia, get down to a cozy depth. Turn on your brights and blind your foes like the Dana octopus squid here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
In the World podcast.
There's a picture and it looks like it's holding its lights out in front of it, and it looks like headlights.